purchase Shoftim as summarized in a sefer called Esh Tomet, the internal fire of Sefer Devarim by Rav Aaron Sonnenschein, says that Parshas Shoftim could be called the halachas of a national authority. The Parsha deals with specific national responsibilities, and the singular, it says, Titein Lecha in singular, means that it seems to be an address to the leadership, to kings, to Shoftim, to Kohanim and Neviim. And the task of the individual is to faithfully follow these leaders. Each of these positions could experience challenge to their authority. In Sanhedrin, we deal with the Zokei Mamre, a rebellious elder who rejects a halacha of Beis Din, the major Sanhedrin, and he's going to do his own thing. They talk about the king, it lets us know, right, that every king in the rules will apply to Shaul, who was the only non member of Yehuda, and a king has the ability in some cases to pronounce a death sentence. And he says, if you look at Sefer Yehoshua and you deal, I guess, with the Mephorshim, you can learn about it then. With respect to the Kohanim, he mentions Korach, how he attempted to wrestle the position of Kohen Gadol away from Aaron, and the punishment for rebellion is Misa, or equivalent thereof, which is Saras, the spiritual, quote, leprosy, which isolated the person. And then he says, we're talking about a death penalty where people disobey a true Navi. And this is done by Shemayim. It's Misa Bidei Shemayim. And we have to be careful that false Nevi'im get put away under the ground. The Mishnah talks about the fact that there are three crowns that can be had. There's the Keser Torah, the crown of Torah available to any member of the nation, the crown of Kahuna, only Kohanim, and the crown of the king, which has got to come from Beis David. And then later on, we know there was the problem of the schism when Yeruvim ben Nevat set up the northern kingdom. It would be nice if people would shut off their radios or not talk in the background. It says in Devarim, in the first chapter, it talks about how judges were set up in the wilderness. And we were given rules how to appoint new judges. And this was done within tribes. And this extended into Eretz Yisrael, that the tribes had their own Beis Din. And it says, when we have a system of Sanhedrin in Eretz Yisrael, if there are settlements outside of Eretz Yisrael, they have to set up the same format of judges. Judges and courts, we were given the responsibility to monitor the behavior of the public and institute various laws to correct a potential sins. We know we talk about the Siyag LaTorah, the guard around. And they had the right to govern in a certain way. We know that after Yehoshua, the Shoftim had a 400-year period to basically govern the Jewish people before Shaul HaMelech. And Sefer Shoftim details much of what happened. There were a large number of males, and we know there was one female, at least, Devorah. There was also Huldah, we're told. And in Shoftim, it opens up and it says, in those days, there was no king in Bnei Yisrael, and therefore, the Shoftim had the military and political clout of a leader. And they had certain rights that would normally apply to a king. But there was no succession by Yerusha of a judge to another. It says that when it came to litigation and prosecution, there would be two people normally who would get involved, right? And what would happen is the two parties would come to court. They would have to present their cases. The judges needed to be totally impartial. They couldn't basically honor someone because they were of higher status. Obviously, bribery was forbidden. And they would make a decision. They also had the responsibility that besides interpersonal disputes, right, they were given the responsibility to punish public sinners. And obviously, crimes such as murder, assault were under their purview. But also, remember, that we don't have a separation of church and state in Judaism. If somebody is publicly machal Shabbos after they've been warned, the Beis Din has the responsibility to punish. And we know that the violation for, or the punishment for being machal Shabbos is misa. If you were warned and you said, I'm doing it anyway, and two Eidim saw you, and there are no extenuating circumstances, you were killed. We're told that judges required smicha. And smicha was started when Moshe Rabbeinu put his hand onto Yehoshua at the end of Devarim, and he deputized him to take over the nation. That was smicha. Only someone who was a musmach, someone who had smicha, could give others smicha, and this was designed that there would be an unbroken chain from Moshe Rabbeinu down through all of the judges. Smicha is valid only when it was granted by the judges who had received smicha within Eretz Yisroel. It can be given to any Torah scholar who is capable, as determined by Beis Din, to render halachic rulings. We're told smicha was valid when given by the Shoftim who lived inside Eretz Yisroel. When foreign influences later were mixed in during the time of the Amoraim, those who wrote the Gemara, he says about 1,700 years after Yehoshua, smicha became impossible in that respect. However, they said that within Bavel, where there was the large Jewish population of millions, there was still a form of smicha given, but it was limited in what it could do. He said, if we want to talk about what today's smicha is, he says, let's go back to Europe. Well, it was called Hatoras Hayrah, permission to make halachic rulings. People who were given the responsibilities to be not only judges, but also shochtim, moalim, or sofrim, they also had to have a form of certification, a kabbalah, that was given by the particular rav who could give smicha. Let's say someone, I guess, like the Chafetz Chaim, and someone of that caliber, etc., in those days, or by an actual Beis Din that they had in Europe. We're told that there was a, we know that the pasuk starts off, Shoftim v'shotrim titein l'chol b'sharecha. You've got to appoint judges and officers. What are officers? We're told, Rashi says, these are what you would call court officers. Those who have to enforce legal rulings, and where necessary, use force to have compliance. We're told, for example, that when David HaMelech reigned, he was a presiding judge of the Sanhedrin. And it says that Yoav, his general, was a shoter who was responsible to execute, put into force, the very rulings. And he says, Unkelus uses the word sorfin. For shoter. And he said they had to do two things. They had to punish, and they had to ensure that mitzvahs were complied with. It says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in today's day and age, may execute what we would call the role of the shoter by causing distress or misery in the lives of certain people. And these two situations are today's shoterim. That things that happen that we consider untoward are messages from the Almighty, and those who, they say, are on the appropriate level stop and think as to what's happening. When it says, Shoter v'shotrim titein lecha, right? Appoint for yourself. Right? Rashi Unkelus indicate for your benefit, to meet your needs, so that you can live an enhanced manner of life. The Alshech and the Arachayim say, right, you've got the responsibility to appoint people who will in fact judge you and who will enforce judgments. The Das Sofrim says Moshe was telling the Jewish people, up until this point, I had that responsibility. I had to see that a Kadosh Baruch whose will was complied with. Now HaKadosh Baruch is giving it over to the nation collectively, and they are required to set up representatives, these judges and officers, to make sure it happens. We're told that the Sanhedrin HaGadol that was in Yerushalayim, the one of 70, which sat in the Lishkas HaGozis, that chamber that was half in the Beis HaMikdash and half out, that was the Supreme Court. And they had the ultimate call that if there was a problem with the decision, a court, the lower court, would make it. And if somebody, I guess there was an appeal process of some way, and it could work its way up to the Supreme Court, who would make the final decision. There was one rule that was set up as a standard. We know that the courts of 23 could judge capital cases. However, that ability was restricted to the times when there was actually the great based and in the base of Migdash. And there were courts in cities, there were courts, I guess, in locales, which included a couple of cities, etc. This author says there was what we called a state Supreme Court that handled all the lower cities, and it worked its way up. It said that the Shoftu Efa'am Mishpat Tzedek, the judge's task was to judge with truth. It says that this judging the people with a truthful judgment is not just a warning to the judges, but it says to the individuals who appoint judges, you've got to ensure that you appoint the judge who you know has this integrity. You've got to set up a judge who you know is fair, who will allocate appropriate time and concern to a case, notwithstanding how trivial one might think it would be. But if it's a halachic question, they will delve and work on it. And in that way, you will end up with truthful and therefore acceptable judgments. It's when you do things such as favor one party over another, when you accept bribes, etc., when, if God forbid, you allow non-Jews to influence the proceedings in courts, right? Then you end up with this notion of Yaver Einei Chachamim. These inappropriate actions blind the eyes of the wise. The notion that the scales of justice can have blindfolds on comes from this. And it will end up distorting, he calls, righteous words. It basically bastardizes Torah practice because it's inappropriate what they do. And we know there's an interesting pasuk. It says, Tzedek, Tzedek, Tirfai. Truth, truth, you should pursue. This implies consistent persistence. Following the truth, even where you know doing so will cause you to lose a case. You've got to be willing to accept a truthful loss in lieu of a dishonest win. The Deres Eliyahu said, in order to make sure that there was always MS, or truth, to be around, he says that is why the Chachamim established that there had to be regular sessions in courts. We know that they would sit on Mondays and Thursdays. And the notion where it says tirdof, pursue, means you've got to make an effort. You've got to find appropriate judges. If for whatever reason the judges closest at hand are suspect, you've got to make the effort to go to a place where there is truly complete honesty and integrity. Then, Leman Tichya, Hashem says, that will ensure that you will continue to live in the land, the Yerashta Es Ha'aretz, which we normally would say means you will possess the land, but here it means you will continue to establish your rights to maintain the land, because you're running with a just society, the society that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to have. Okay.